Well, for a period of weeks now, we've been looking at why and how healing has been provided in the atonement. First of all, because healing is in the atonement, I emphasize that it is always God's will to heal. And this is why Jesus healed every person that came to him for healing. He never turned anyone away. There's various occasions in the Gospels where it says he healed all those who were sick and oppressed of the devil. And so Jesus healed everyone. And because it's always God's will to heal, not only did Jesus heal people so that they would know that he was the Messiah, which is what's taught in many circles today, that it's the reason Jesus healed was to show that he was the Messiah. And that is true, but that's not the only reason that he healed people. Okay? Jesus also healed people so that he could model before them what was necessary for healing to occur. Now, I know we've got some visitors here this week, and I've done quite a bit of already preparation in terms of teaching why healing's in the atonement and what the biblical foundation is for that. If that's something that you would like to hear more, we do have those messages online, or we have the ability to make CDs. So just to make you aware of that, if that's something, this is the first time you've heard that kind of truth, and you're going, whoa, that's I don't know if I'm sure about that, then you can get that teaching. I really believe that that will help you. I have had people come to me and say, this is the first time I've really heard it taught like that, so that they could understand why healing is in the atonement. So I want to mention that and make that available to you, okay? All right, so Jesus modeled healing. And what is necessary for healing to take place, and of course this would be both healing in the soul, the mind, the emotion, and the will, and in the physical body as well, what's needed for healing to take place is bringing together three spiritual substances that have been provided in the atonement. Those three substances would be power, authority, and faith. Let me say it again. Power, authority, and faith. And we have equated those substances, since they're spiritual, to the similarity of natural substances in terms of building a fire, okay? 1 Peter 2:24 says that he bore in his body our sins upon the tree or the cross, and by his wounds or his stripes, we have been healed, past tense, okay? And so, for that to happen, we have then healing. And what we have said is that healing could be equated to natural fire. Now, we all have experienced natural fire before, correct? Okay. But can you just go up to the Lord, typically, unless he's doing something sovereignly, and say, Lord, please give me fire? Is he going to give you, is he just going to go, are you going to get a Elijah on the mountain experience probably, and woof, he's going to give you fire? Probably not, okay? But what he's given us is the means to build a fire, correct? He's given us wood or a fuel source. He's given us oxygen, which is required for building a fire, and an ignition source. We'll need an ignition source. And we have those things available to us, okay? But you have to bring all those substances, if you will, together in order to get fire. But God has provided fire, correct? Okay? And so the same principle applies to healing. God has given us healing. But too much of what the church has done is, rather than saying building or putting the substances together that bring healing, they have gone and said, Lord, please heal me, please heal me, please heal me. And the Lord's going to say, I have given you healing, but you have to bring the spiritual substances together that are necessary for receiving that healing, okay? So it's been provided, but the spiritual substances we have to bring together are power, faith, and authority, not necessarily in that order. All right? Okay. And Jesus possessed each of these spiritual substances. Okay? He possessed power because the life and fullness of the Holy Spirit existed within him as the Son of God. Okay? Now, the Son of God refers to his deity. Whenever you read that in Scripture, the Son of God, it's referring to his deity. When you read the terms Son of Man, that's referring to his humanity. Okay? And so he possessed power because the life and fullness of the Holy Spirit existed within him because he was the Son of God. Okay? He also possessed authority because as the Son of Man, he was without sin. And so sin is what lost connection to God and therefore lost authority to mankind. But Christ was without sin and was the only human being at that time who was, and so he was the only one who possessed spiritual authority. Okay? And then thirdly, he possessed and exercises complete faith because Jesus was the Word made flesh. How many know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He was the Word made flesh. Okay? And he also did only what he saw the Father doing. So therefore, his faith was not inhibited in any way, unlike ours at times. Okay? So, Jesus had all three spiritual substances operating perfectly all the time. That's why he healed every single person all the time. And because those substances were present and God gave them to be used every single time it's always God's will to heal. But how many know when it comes to building a fire, have you ever had a difficulty building a fire? Okay? So just because we try to build a fire doesn't even mean we automatically get fire, depending on the elements that we're using and the conditions that we're dealing with, correct? So this is what we have to understand. If we're struggling at times getting healing, it's not because it's not God's will to heal and not because he hasn't provided what is necessary for healing to occur. The problem lies here. Now, don't misunderstand that, because the church has abused that at times, and they've said things like, well, it must be you don't have enough faith. That's not true. We're going to see that in a minute, okay? Or they may say, well, must be there's sin in your life. Not true either, okay? Sin can be a problem, okay? But how many know there's times in your life where you've also been wounded, but it wasn't due to your own sin? Or you've experienced a trauma in your life, and it wasn't due to something you did? But how many know because of the wounds and traumas in our lives, this thing right here gets kind of clouded and messed up? And trust isn't always there. And confidence and belief and how many know we can see something in God's Word and believe it, but this thing is fighting you. Okay? For example, years ago when the Lord began to work in my heart, I could read God's Word about God's love for us, and it was amazing. I could go up to anybody else and tell them God loved them. But for some reason, there was like a disconnect or a block. I just couldn't believe it for myself. And did that mean that God didn't love me or that God's love wasn't available? What that meant, I just couldn't receive it. And so I had to get my mind renewed to what God's word said. And the way you renew your mind is that every time you get a message that comes at you, you says you're not loved, you go back to the word and says, wait a minute, my Bible says that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ, not height, not depth, not angels, not demons, not the past, not the present, not the future, not anything in all creation can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And so when that lying devil tried to come tell me in my head that I wasn't loved, I said, it is written. That's how you fight. The word of God says, I am loved. You're a liar. And it took me a while. It took time, folks. I had to say something and declare something and stand on something that my emotions didn't feel. But I'm going to tell you, you will never feel your way into proper way of believing and acting. You have to first act and believe the word, and as you stand on it and you proclaim it and you declare it, then your emotions come into alignment. Okay? So don't let the feeler, the emotional side of you, that says anything that's related to death, stealing from you, killing you, destroying you, trying to tear you down, I'm telling you, that's not God. That's the lie of the enemy. And if you've bought his lies, then a lot of times there's a stronghold that's been built up in your mind. And you've got to fight to tear that stronghold down. Okay? And so, we have to stand on the truth that it is God's will to heal every time because his word says it. And realizing that if we're not experiencing it, we don't need to come under condemnation. There just may be some old strongholds hanging around that we've got to go to the Word and discover what they are, and we've just got to keep fighting, and we've got to keep fighting, and we've got to tear those strongholds down so the faith that's in our heart can be released. Okay? We're going to see that in a minute. And so the works of Jesus and his disciples are through the works of Jesus and his disciples, the bringing together of these three spiritual substances was modeled and healing occurred. Okay? Therefore, this modeling was done so that people could learn what they must also do in order to receive healing once these spiritual substances were provided to them. And as we've seen over a period of weeks now, each of those spiritual substances have been provided through Christ's atonement to those who receive them through salvation. Okay? And like we said, that's why healing is in the atonement. And what's taught is people have taught that, well, if healing's in the atonement, then when you accept Christ into your heart and you get saved, then that should automatically mean you're physically healed right on the spot too. But as we've shown, that's not true. Because salvation does not produce healing. Salvation provides the means for healing, right? It provides you with power and faith and authority. But you now have to exercise an additional exercise of faith in order to receive that healing. Okay? And that's what the theologians don't often tell you. You know why? Because they don't understand it themselves. They're confused about the Word of God in that area of theology. Okay? And so, we know salvation was provided through Christ's death, Christ's resurrection, and faith, right? Isn't that interesting? Three things. He died in order to provide forgiveness and cleansing of sin. That cleansing then made us fit to receive eternal life. But that life could not be given unless Christ rose again and overcome death. And he did, and so he provided the means of eternal life. That's all what we receive in the atonement of Christ that was never provided in any other form of atonement before, because no other sacrifice got up from the dead. Okay? So this is all new. That's why we call it the new covenant. Okay? And he rose from the dead, and so what's left is we must put our faith in Christ and his death and his resurrection. Okay? But even that faith is given to us. Did you know that? If we had no word to combine our faith with, how would we have faith? Right? The Bible says that beautiful are the feet of them who bring good news. And it's talking about those that are the ones who preach and proclaim the gospel. Okay? Therefore, once a person receives salvation through faith in Christ and they are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:3 says that the Father has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Notice that means that we already have the blessings. We're not waiting around in the sweet by and by. We already possess them. Okay? And three of these spiritual blessings include power, authority, and faith. Okay? Power comes from receiving eternal life. All right? Now, I'm not talking the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit for ministry. I'm talking about power to receive resurrection life. Okay? So eternal life has been provided through the resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead and then raised us from the dead spiritually. Right? And now that we have eternal life within us, resurrection power or life, because how many know that life overcomes death? So resurrection life is the power that overcomes death. So resurrection life is resurrection power. Okay? So we have now then resurrection power, life, abiding within us through the Holy Spirit, who God has given us as a deposit, guaranteeing our eternal inheritance. Okay? According to Ephesians 1. All right. So we have spiritual power through salvation to be raised from the dead. Secondly, we have spiritual authority. This comes from being adopted as sons in God's family. Now, don't get caught up in the term sons, because that's a term relating to adoption in the Roman culture. And those who were adopted in the Roman culture received all the same rights and privileges of a natural-born son in a Roman family. Okay? So what that's saying is that you, who have been adopted as a son in Christ, receive the same rights and privileges as the natural-born son, Jesus Christ. Is that awesome or what? Boy, if we just get a hold of that one, that would set us free right there. Okay? So, therefore, as a result of being adopted as sons, this means that through Christ, we receive a new identity that comes from being a child of God. Okay? And as a child of God, we have now been entrusted with authority in God's family. Okay? So therefore, that's how we receive spiritual authority. Therefore, we now possess eternal identity in Christ, and we possess kingdom authority in Christ. I don't know about you, but that's enough to just get you excited. You might want to do a little jig or something. And finally, faith comes from hearing God's word about Christ and then confessing with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead. When that all occurs, that is the work of the Holy Spirit imparting faith within us. Okay? Because we know that the Bible says that no one comes to the Father, no one comes to the Son unless the Father draws him. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, and no one can see the Father unless the Son reveals him. By the way, those are all passages of Scripture. Okay? So we know that faith is the working of the Word of God coming to us, the Spirit of Christ working, Holy Spirit working in us, and then bringing us to that place where faith is imparted and we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Amen? And we see this in Romans 12:3. Okay? It says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." All right? In other translations, this faith that has been distributed to us is called a measure of faith. Okay? So God has distributed to us a measure of faith when we're saved. Okay? And so now we can exercise faith for healing because faith abides in our hearts. So you have been provided with the spiritual substances necessary for healing. You've been provided with power, eternal life. You've been provided with authority as a son of God. And you've been provided with faith. So you have already within you everything necessary to receive healing. Now the challenge is, many of us are still struggling, right? Well, that's why we're continuing to just keep beating this drum. Because we're going to keep working at it. How many know, guess what? If our mind's got to be renewed to receive the love of God, how many think we're going to have a renewing of the mind to receive the healing of God? Okay? You know, it's not just like the church has always thought or believed or taught in some cases, that it's just a snap my fingers and it's done. Again, Jesus, it happened with Jesus much more quickly in most cases. You know, whether you know it, if you really study some passages, you know, Jesus, I think there was even some time periods where Jesus spoke the words and healing occurred on kind of a delayed scale, but we're not going to get into that right now. But in most cases that we see in Scripture, it certainly appears that it was pretty much instant. Okay, now that's another thing that some of the people who don't believe it's God's will to heal every time and that it's in the atonement will tell you, well, if it was in the atonement, then it would happen with you just like it happens with Jesus. And I'm like, oh, really? Well, let me ask you something. If you believe salvation's in the atonement, how come you aren't transformed? And how come your life isn't sinless, perfected, and everything's right on in your life in the soul realm? You know, how come it's a process there? Well, then why can't it be a process for us to have our minds renewed for physical healing too? And as you grow in that and as you believe God's word more than you believe a pain in your body or a sickness that you feel or an ailment that you've been dealing with, and you believe God's word more than you believe what your body's telling you, guess what? You got to fight to renew your mind to that. See, I didn't think of it in the soul realm. That's why I want to compare the two. I didn't feel loved, but was I loved? Was love provided? Yes. Okay. Well, if I got something that I'm feeling in my body, am I still healed by his stripes? Okay. But I don't feel it. It's because that thing is a liar and the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And guess what? I really believe pain is simply a voice to us. Now, we know in the physical, it's a symptom, it's a result of something that's ailing us, okay? But I believe the pain is the voice to tell you something's not right here. And so we need to speak to the something that's not right here. We need to believe that God is bigger, that He's provided the power, the authority, and we got to get our mind renewed so that faith can be released. Okay? So that we believe what God's Word says, that we have been healed more than we even believe what that pain is telling us. See, this is what I want you to understand. We get it in the soul realm. We have to transfer that understanding to realize that same truth exists in the physical realm. But the challenge is, the devil's going to be going, you're still feeling that pain, aren't you? So you're not healed. You're still feeling that pain. You're just lying. You're deceiving yourself. And the whole time, he's deceiving you. Because he knows that every provision has been made for you to get free of that thing. But you gotta fight. Just like I had to fight to believe that God loves me, regardless of what I felt, I have to believe that God has healed me, regardless of what I feel. See the connection? And I really believe, personally, that's why the Lord has allowed me to experience that at the soul level, because now I can transfer it in the physical. Because I'm telling you, I'm still in process getting my mind renewed in this thing. I'm just telling you. I'm having to fight that fight for physical things myself right now as well. So I'm not, I'm not preaching hocus pocus theory to you. I'm preaching to myself too, okay? But the Word is the Word, and I'm going to believe the Word regardless of what all these other voices are trying to say. Okay? All right, so therefore, through Christ's atonement, if we have put our faith in Christ, power, authority, and faith now dwell within us through the Holy Spirit. And these spiritual substances are what is necessary in order for us to experience healing in our soul and in our body. However, this requires bringing those substances together in the same manner that Jesus did. Okay? Hear that? Well, what we're going to be focusing on now is these spiritual substances in greater detail. Okay? We've been talking about them, but we need to go further in understanding them. And how we're going to do this is I'm going to clarify what each of these substances really are. Okay? And then we're going to look at why it is that we do now, in fact, possess these spiritual substances. So we're going to look at the means by which they occurred. Now, I know you know they're in the atonement and so on, but there was a process between creation and when Christ came that was in place in order to make it available to us to have these things. Because see, I can just tell you that you have authority in Christ. And the devil can come back and say to you, well, how do you know that? How do you know that? Just because your pastor told you? How do you know he's just not all wet? Right? And so the pastor, if he doesn't give you the word to show you, then he could be all wet. So I can't stand up here and give you this stuff based on my authority. I come in the name of Jesus, and the only way I can know his authority is what is written in his word. That's his authority, okay? So we're going to go to his word and look at these different substances, okay? And we're going to look at what Jesus and others did with these spiritual substances to bring healing. And then finally, we're going to look at what we must do in order to exercise these substances so that we can experience healing. Okay? And then even down the road, we'll look at a little bit more about how that involves us praying and helping others receive healing. But I really believe I want us to get it. We need to get these principles to understand how we can get a hold of it. And then once we get it, then I believe we can help others. Okay? It's kind of like if you get saved and you grow up in your faith, it's pretty tough for you to disciple someone unless you've first been a disciple. Correct? And so this is our discipleship process to get us equipped. Because guess what? I don't know about you, I'm just not satisfied to experience healing as an end in itself. It needs to be a means to reach the lost and dying world. And I'll tell you what, and you've heard me say this on various occasions, formulating good reasoning arguments isn't getting the job done. Right? The media is formulating arguments, and people are buying into those. Same as the educational system, same as the political system. Guess what? If we don't have the power of God combined with our message, then our message is just a reasoning that's no different than anybody else's message to people. But I'll tell you what, you get people healed. You get people experiencing supernatural words of knowledge over their lives that no way could somebody know that. Words of wisdom to show them what God wants them to know and how to do it. I'll tell you what, you'll start getting people's attention. Their ears will start perking up. And I believe we're just at a point in our history that if we want to see revival, we got to be the revival. We can't just keep waiting for the Holy Spirit to just somehow drop out of the sky. You know what? He already has. He already has, and He indwells you. So you know how revival is going to come? When it comes out of you. That's how revival is going to come. And we start healing people and setting people free and showing them how to raise their families and showing them how to use their finances and being relevant to their world. But I really believe it's going to have to start with the power of God, folks. It's going to have to start. But this is the other thing. We're going to have to be credible, which means we're going to have to walk in the fruit of the Spirit as well as the power of God. Okay? Too many revivals have gone haywire because people get into sin. They start seeing some success. They start seeing great things happen. And all of a sudden, somehow in their head, the enemy makes them believe it's really about them and not about God. And then they start committing adultery and, you know, manipulating people for money. See, if we stayed true to what the Bible says about money, people wouldn't have a problem with giving. But people have a sense. They know when you're playing the game and you're manipulating versus you're really about the kingdom. See, when you hear somebody preach about money and it becomes an end in itself to be blessed, and you don't hear the rest of the story that you're blessed to be a blessing so that it can not stop with you, but it can get through you, for the purpose of the kingdom, then they're preaching a prosperity message that's only half the message. I believe in prosperity. I believe God wants to bless us. I believe He wants to pour it on. But He also wants to pour it on to people He can trust to get it through, to do His work and glorify His name, and not just lavish upon themselves. Okay? Let's preach the whole gospel. All right, now, I just repeated a lot of stuff that I've already preached, but I think that's what the Lord wanted today. So what we're going to begin to do is in future weeks. Now, I'm just going to let you know, this is going to be a process, okay? We're coming into the holidays pretty quickly, so I may not get all the way through this, and we may have to take a pause in this teaching for the holidays and then begin picking it up again after the first year. I don't know how it's going to work. Okay? But I just want to make sure that we do this very systematically so that you understand this. You know me well enough. I'm just not a pie in the sky kind of guy. Okay. I'm a poet and don't know it, but my feet show it because they're Longfellows, okay? That's for Jim Kirkemeyer right there. Okay. All right. So what we'll begin to do is next week, we'll begin to look at spiritual authority, okay? How God gave it to mankind, how it was lost, and that through Christ, how not only was the spiritual authority that we lost regained, but we gained even more authority than they had at creation. We gained authority to whoop the devil's you know what. Did I do that okay? All right. Well, if you have need of prayer this morning, you have a physical need, we would be more than willing to pray with you. So we're going to, Dawn, I'm going to have Dawn come up and make ourselves available to lay hands on you, anoint you with oil, pray with you, and we're going to believe God together. Amen? And this is what I'm saying. Again, you have to know we're in process of getting our minds renewed too, okay? So this is all I ask. How many of you go to a doctor? How many of you know that a doctor practices medicine? How many know a doctor doesn't get the diagnosis right every time? Okay. Well, if you'll let a doctor practice on you, will you let us practice in prayer? And that if we're still learning, we may not have everything figured out yet, but guess what? We're going to stand with you. We're going to fight with you. We're going to keep praying until we overcome. Amen? Okay, so we're just agreeing that we can practice. And guess what? I believe every time we learn something, we're going to grow in it, and we're going to become more and more effective, and we're going to see more and more healing all the while. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you today that what we have celebrated this morning through communion is what provides us with healing. Thank you that we have life in Christ. Thank you that we have power, faith, and authority to overcome any devil and any disease. And Father, we rejoice that in your name, it's that name that overcomes. Just like Peter when he met the man who was the beggar at the gate, beautiful. And he was looking for a handout, and Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." Authority, faith, and power flowing in the name of Jesus. And so we come in your name, Lord, in Jesus' name. And what we have, we freely give because we have freely received. In Jesus' name, amen.